I should have muted myself. That'd have been better. No, it's not this whole thing full. I just didn't get a chance to separate it out. I was preoccupied with a little girl. Papa brain comes on and you don't do anything except play with the kid. So I got my notes on two different things today. Well, Father, we just thank you and praise you. And Father, we pray that your words would be spoken forth today, that you would be glorified, that you would be the one that we seek. Just bless your name, Jesus' name, amen. I feel like this is going to be a little sidetrack of where we've been. Maybe wrap up some corners, wrap up some things that help us to move along where God wants us to be. I just felt like this was probably for me and for anybody here that's dealing with hurt. So it's interesting that Anna had that happen this week. We're going to look at Hebrews 12 quickly, and it says, make Hebrews 12, 14, for those that pull it up. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Bringing that up today, no bitter root getting a hold. In a cat, when they're out playing around and they fight each other, another cat can bite them. And that tooth is very, very sharp, very small. It goes in, comes out, like an insult to our souls. And the thing is, though, that wound will heal on the outside. And you won't see anything. That cat will be fine. Nothing more, nothing less. Everything seems to be going wonderfully well. You give it some time, though. That part in there under the skin that looks like it's healed and everything's good begins to grow bacteria from that other cat's mouth. And it begins to fester, low grade. And sometimes we'll get cats in there, we call it fever of unknown origin, because the cat has a fever. Nobody knows why. A lot of times it's that festering that's down underneath the skin. And then before too long, a big, massive abscess can form. And when it breaks out, this purulent, stinky, rotten flesh comes out. But it has to happen in order for that cat to heal. How many offenses have we gotten into our lives that we have taken in and is in there, under our skin, in our minds, festering, low grade, sitting there, benign, not doing anything, but we're allowing to fester in. Those seeds that come into our hearts come from many different ways. Some of them, of course, are from on purpose. People want to get at you. Something wants to happen. They want to hurt you. And that seed can come into our hearts from that hurt. Other ones are totally unintentional. I know I've probably hurt people's feelings before unintentionally by something I said, something I did, had no clue that it occurred. People have done it to me, and it puts a seed in your heart of discontent, of discord. Sometimes it is only perceived. We think it is about us. We think that something happened to us and it was nothing at all. It's our mind playing tricks on us. And we only perceive that damage, that hurt into our hearts. Other times, it's just the natural consequence of living in a fallen world. Just something happened, a natural disaster. Somebody close to you passed away. It's because we live in a fallen world, these things happen. But they put seeds in our heart. Seeds of discontent. Seeds of bitterness. And our heart is the soil in which they can grow. The problem is, we don't get them out. we let those seeds of discontent stay in our hearts and our minds. Some of us like to hold on to them because it gives us something to justify why we don't like a person, to justify why we don't like a situation. Seeds of discontent can be even that of politicians, why we don't like the current politicians, because we have seeds of discontent in our hearts, and then therefore it produces malice towards them, malice towards our brothers. God wants us to root them out. God wants us to get rid of them. It holds us back. You wouldn't believe how much of that discontentness, this malice towards other people, hold us back from what God really has us truly intended for. And only God can take care of it. On the other end of things, too, I forgot to mention one. A lot of times, the ones that love you the most are the ones that are easiest to get you a seed of discontent in your heart, because they mean something to you. Spouses have the hardest time because things come in of discontent. Words, actions, unintentional, intentional, or just part of life. And it puts a barrier between relationships. But the only way out of it is through Christ alone. It takes God to reveal those areas of seeds in our hearts, because a lot of them we don't see ourselves. We're blinded to them. So it takes God's mercy, justice, and grace to reveal them to us. What are those things? Justice, mercy, grace. When we think about it, justice, of course, is getting exactly what you deserve. If we hurt somebody, we get punishment for what we did. Mercy is we've done it, but we don't get punished for it. That is mercy. We do not receive the punishment that we deserve. Grace, on the other hand, is we get a reward for something we don't deserve. We haven't worked for. We haven't earned. It's a gift given to us. That's not anything we have done. So we need God to reveal those to us so that justice, grace, and mercy can take place in our hearts. We need God to reveal what is holding us back, what is in our hearts, what is eating at our souls, what we have held on to. We need grace, that unmerited favor, that desire for Him to be removed, to remove those stones from us, those seeds from us. Grace is the only thing that does it. We can't do it in ourselves. We want to hold on to it. We want to go back to it. And then we need goodness to replace those seeds. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see God. Peace and mercy to those that are around us. Saying, I know that I've been wronged. I know that what I've done to others is wrong. But we know God's grace will cover it. So often we begin things in the Spirit. We begin moving in our lives in the Spirit. But these seeds come along, and it could be seeds of pride, and it moves us from the Spirit to the flesh because we're more worried about what's going on and what's happening to us than what's happening to God Himself. Naomi, you know her in the Bible, she wanted to be called Mara, bitter, from sweetness to bitter because of what happened in her life. It's okay, Nagi, I'll take you. Of what happened to her life. She went to a foreign country because of starvation. She lost her husband. She lost her kids, her boys, and was left with her own two daughter-in-laws. And she said, God has been bitter to me, has made my life bitter. But did he? Those seeds were planted in her. But what happened in the end? God had used all that situation to bring Ruth into Naomi's life, to take her back, to marry Boaz in order to be in line of Christ. What she thought was bitterness turned out to be the glory of God. Don't let bitterness enter our lives. I want you to think this week of things that are in your life, things that you're holding on to, things that you desire to hold on to that don't need to be there in order for God to move more, to fill us up more. We need to get all those out. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach, admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So as we think, contemplate these things, remember that Christ alone had suffered, died for a lot greater grievance than we've ever gotten in our lives. And he did it for us so he could take those grievances upon himself and that we could live. We pray you go blessed this week and go out and live a life where you're looking for peace, reconciliation, and being right with God and with men. Amen. Short one today.